Good morning. Today's Daven Sota is Lamed Vav. We are on Lamed Hamed Beis. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daft Office on Zechen Ishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. Crossing the yard name. Crossing the yard name was a big topic of discussion. Has been the discussion for a while. In the Gemara veered off into some related topics, historically a little bit before, historically a little bit afterwards. But the main topic had the Gemara has been for the last number of days, the crossing of the yard name. The reason why that's been such a big topic is because the opening of the seventh perek, which is now going back some time, it's going back to Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, the opening of the seventh perek started with a description of Har Gerizim and Har Eival. Har Gerizim and Har Eival, the brachos and klos that were given to the Jewish people after entering into Eretz Yisrael, upon entering into Eretz Yisrael. So that has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. The Mishnah goes over a list of things that have to be said in Lashon HaKodesh, this being one of them. So it led the Gemara to a lengthy discussion about the Har Gerizim and Har Eival. What we just learned yesterday, we're going to back up, we're going to start it again, is how many stones were set up by and by whom. So let's start again, Tanur Rabbanan. We did some of this yesterday, but it really begins the sugya anew. So it is halfway down on Lamed Hamed Beis, a little more than halfway down, starting with a brisa. Ketzah Kazri Yisrael Torah. How did the Jewish people write the Torah? So in other words, the understanding is that on the stones that were set up, the Torah was written. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Al Gabe Avanim Kasfu. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Torah was written on the stones themselves. Shenemer V'Kasafta Al Avanim. It's called Divrei HaTorah Zos. It was written on the Torah. And then afterwards, plaster was placed over the words of the Torah. Amalei Rabbi Shimon L'dvarecha Heich Lamdu Omos Shal Oso Hazman Torah. The obvious question, which the Gemara then asks, is, well, how are people supposed to learn Torah? The whole reason why it was written B'Shivan Lashon in 70 languages is so that everyone would have an opportunity to learn the Torah. And so now it's counterintuitive. You write the Torah on the stones in 70 languages so that everyone can read it, and then you put plaster over it. So Amalo Bina Yisera Nasam HaMakash Baruch Hu V'Shigru Notirin L'Shalahem V'Kilpos Hasid V'Yisu. So Rav Yehuda's answer, his defense of his position is they're supposed to scratch it off. It's not supposed to be that obvious. It's not supposed to be that apparent. It's not supposed to be that easy. As we pointed out yesterday, there has to be a work exerted in order to learn Torah, and it's true by Umos HaOlam as well. There has to be some sort of effort exerted in order to learn Torah. So in this case, the effort actually means that they're going to have to scrape away the plaster in order to get to the Torah. That sheet is Rav Yehuda. Al Davizen is Chatim Gzar Dinam Lever Shachas. And Rav Yehuda says because they had an opportunity to learn Torah and they didn't learn Torah, so that's going to steal their fate for Ber Shachas Ayilam Lomor Velo Limdu. They were supposed to learn, and yet they didn't learn. That is all the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. This is more or less what we got to yesterday. An interesting Tosus points out the Gemara over here is finding fault with the Umos HaOlam for not learning Torah, and we are now approximately 40 years after Matan Torah. We know it's a medrash and it's a classic that even by Matan Torah, so the Umos HaOlam were given an opportunity to get the Torah. Right? Tosus over here points out the Im Torah Tepukle de Bishas Matan Torah Hechazira Kosh Baruch Hu Kol Uma V'Lashem V'Lo Kibluo. Right, it's Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the beginning of Avodah Zarah, where there the Gemara details and highlights that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave all the nations of the world a chance to accept the Torah. And over here, the Gemara is pointing out that the Ber Shachas, the fate that's sealed for the Umos HaOlam, is based on the fact that they had the stones, they could have read the stones, and they didn't read the stones. So so Tosus is just simply wondering, why over here, why not back by Matan Torah? Tosus suggests, V'yishlamad da'onish zeh gadol hu shel ach shaisak suva b'yadam v'lo rasu lumod. So Tosfos says this is even more severe chait by the Umos HaOlam, because previously they were offered the Torah, but they were just giving a sampling of what the Torah said. It wasn't written out for them. Over here, the Torah is written out for them in all 70 languages. So Tosfos says maybe that's why over here even more their fate is sealed as a result of the Torah written being written on the stones. Back to the Gemara. So again, Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is, the Torah was written on the stones, the plaster was placed over the Torah. They can't read it. If the plaster is placed over, the Gemara says that the expectation is they're supposed to scrape away the plaster in order to get at the Torah. Rabbi Shimon Omer Agabi said Kasvua. The Kasulam Lamat Lamana Shaloy Lamduas Khamlasos Kichol. So Rabbi Shimon's position is, well, we knew what his position was going to be because he already objected to Rabbi Yehuda's approach. So we kind of saw this coming. Rabbi Shimon says no, that first the stones were plastered and then on top of the plaster the Torah was written so that it would be easily readable by the Umas HaOlam. And on the bottom of the stones it says Laman Asher Lo Yilamdu Eschem La'asos Kichol. So and the purpose of which is so that you don't behave like the other nations, which means, according to Rabbi Shimon, ha lemadita shim hayu chosen b'tshuva hayu mekabel nosam, which means that if they would have learned the Torah, meaning the Umas HaOlam, so then we would have accepted them. Okay, look at Rashi over here. Very important Rashi, very interesting Rashi. V'kasvu malamata. Rashi writes b'sof hadaf, meaning on the bottom of the page, meaning of the stones. Laman asher lo yilamdu od la'el minei ksiv ki acharim ta'acharimem. In other words, if you look over there by that pasuk in Dvarim Perichav, so we have an obligation to wipe out the nations of Canaan upon entrance into Canaan. So v'davrezeh kasu lamata la'odil l'shiva umos hayoshim chutz megvule Yisrael. So that means as follows, says Rashi. According to Rabbi Shimon, meaning, and this may be debatable between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Shimon, the Torah was written over the plaster. I mean, that we know. The Gemara says, the Braisa says that. But the significance of such is that now you have nations of the world reading, including, says Rashi, the Shiva Umos. But Rashi writes, again, just reading the Rashi, the Shiva Umos Hayoshim Chutz Megvul Yisrael, the Shalot Nitztavu Lehacharimam. Right, there is no obligation to obliterate all seven nations over the entire world. It's just to remove them from Eretz Yisrael, to obliterate them and remove them from Eretz Yisrael. But outside of Eretz Yisrael, you can leave them alone. You don't have to destroy them. And moreover, says Rashi, according to Rabbi Shimon, if they want to accept the Torah, mekablin ela osan shebetoch v'lam nitzarv la'acharim kidei shelo yilamdu osan ma'aseim hamakukalim. We have to obliterate the ones living in Eretz Yisrael, but that's simply because we have to live in Eretz Yisrael being uninfluenced. Ava atem yoshim chutz ala im atem chozim b'tshuva nekabel eschem. Now, the ones in Eretz Yisrael, those we don't accept, but the ones living outside of Eretz Yisrael, those we do accept. Okay, and then Rashi quotes the Tosefta that speaks to this idea as well. Okay, so there is an opportunity to accept converts from the Shiva Umas HaOlam. Yes, there's a mitzvah of Hacharim Tacharim, but that is only for those living in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, as to the question of if they accept and then can they move into Eretz Yisrael, I certainly anticipate that question, but I don't, according to Rashi, I don't know. But anyway, but that is what comes out according to Rabbi Shimon. So, interesting. I mean, the Gemara doesn't say it straight out, but you'll see in just a moment. Rashi's pshat is very clear in the Gemara, meaning as we get to the upcoming Gemara, you're going to see that these two points are connected. The idea that the Torah is written on the surface of the stones, not underneath the plaster, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Shimon says it's written on the surface, and Rashi then also says, deduces from there, that moreover, it gives them the opportunity to read the Torah and accept the Torah if they want to, including even Shiva Amen, even the seven nations. Again, specifically those living outside of Eretz Yisrael. Let's go on in the Gemara. So I even come with some Amar Rava. Amar Rava Bar Shula. My time the Rabbi Shimon Dechziv. Ayu Amim Misarfot Sid Al Iske Sid. So the nations Misarfot Sid over the matters of the plaster. So meaning it's on the plaster. It's not underneath the plaster. Rabbi Yehuda Ki Sid Masid Ein Lo Takana El Asreifa Osama Kusim Ein Lam Takana El Asreifa. Now Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says no. The only Takana for the Shila Amim Asreifa. Okay, so again, like I mentioned, from the Gemara, it's pretty clear that these two issues are connected. The issue of where the Torah is going to be written on the stones and the issue of Kabbalah of Gerim from the Shiva Amim. Kamanaz lahad detanya v'shavis v'shavyol rabos kananim shebechus haaretz. Prisoners of war. Okay, the... The Eishes Tifas Torah mentioned in the beginning of Parshas Kisetse. So we are special dispensations given by the Torah, where if a soldier finds an Eishes Tifas Torah, so he can take her back home. And with obviously many more details that I'm not going over right now. But anyway, who are we talking about? In other words, we take a look at Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Kisetse. So Rashi says that we're going on a Mechemes Rishus. Okay, we're going on to another portion of land to Eretz Yisrael. So it's a Mechemes Rishus, not Mechemes Mitzvah. And meanwhile, so there's going to be, you're going to bring back a woman from another nationality. So the Braisa says, V'shavitza shivyola rabbas kananim shebechutz la'aretz. Even if she's a Kanani living outside of Eretz Yisrael, so then she can be included in the Parsha of Eishes Tifas Torah. So the Gemara says, Shim chozim b'tshuva mekabim masam, where you're allowed to accept them as a gear. In this case, a gioris. Kemanika Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara says, this fits in with the position, and only with the position Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon, again, Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that because the ksav of the Torah is written on top of the plaster, so connected with that shita, it's the shita that you can accept gerim, even from the Shiva Kananim, only those living outside of Eretz Yisrael. It certainly seems from this discussion then that once they're living outside Eretz Yisrael, you can bring them into Eretz Yisrael, because I assume, and I could be wrong about this, I assume then that the soldier can then bring her back home. I mean, that's what the Torah describes. How many miracles on that day? Again, we're talking about the crossing of the Yarden. So they crossed Hargrizim and Har-Eval, and they went to... Sorry, let me do that again. They crossed the Yarden, and they went to Hargrizim and Har-Eval, which was more than 60 mil. You remember a short couple days ago, we had a machlokus in terms of where was Hargrizim and Har-Eval. That was a machlokus Tanayim between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Lazar. And it's very clear from this Braisa that this Braisa is adopting the opinion of Rabbi Huda. Remember, Rabbi Lazar says that it's right over the Yarden. Okay, there's a separate Hargrizim and Har-Eval, or maybe a manufactured one, right over the Yarden, right next to Gilgal. But over here, this Braisa is saying it's a 60 kilometer. That's an approximation, right? 60 mil. Okay, so that's a long trek, and that's for an entire nation to travel, and they made it there in one day. That's a miracle. So the idea that we're invoking miracle over here is certainly going like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that we're talking about Har Grizim and Har Avel, that's next to Shechem. Shechem is interior in Eretz Yisrael. It's not right over the Yarden. And nobody can stand in front of us. And anyone tried to stand in front of us, trembled in so much fear, so they lost bodily control. The Rashi says, they lost their bodily functions. Quoting from the Az Yashir, from the Shir Sayyam, so they were gripped with fear. And again, the fear actually manifested, and they're losing their bodily function. Ad Yavorim Chashem. As long as we quoted the Shir Sayyam, the Gemara says, let's do it again. Let's quote Shir Sayyam again. Ad Yavorim Chashem, Zubiya Rishona. Ad Yavorim Zukanisa, Zubiya Shnia. Because it's two times they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. This being the first time, and then after a short 70-year Gullus, we went into Eretz Yisrael, a second time, Bimei Ezra. The Gemara points out, Amar Miata Ru'in HaYisrael La'asos really, the second time we went into Eretz Yisrael should have been just like the first time. First time we went in with force. Right? We didn't seek anyone's permission. We went in, conquered Eretz Yisrael. The second time should have went like that as well. The second time did not go like that. Right? Remember, in order to go back to Eretz Yisrael, they seek permission from the Persians. The Persians gave them the permission. And then and only then, Ezra and Nehemiah, together with a handful, not a little bit more than a handful, but not much more, a small sampling of the Jewish people went into Eretz Yisrael together with Ezra and Nehemiah. The Gemara says that fundamentally, theoretically, it should have been different. The second entrance into Eretz Yisrael should have been the first. The pasuk creates a hekesh connecting the first and the second entrance. Why did the second entrance not go that way? The Gemara gives a very short and simple explanation. Because of gramachet, because we sinned. Now, the Gemara over here does not identify which sin we're talking about. If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes, he writes, in other words, we sinned so much during Bayis Rishon that sin had a carryover effect even when we entered in to build the second base of Mikdash. As a result of that, we can only go in with permission. According from the beginning of Sefer Ezra, where we had to get permission granted in order to go into Eretz Yisrael during the Yemei Ezra. And afterwards, they made the stones. Again, we're now all in one day. The progression of crossing the Yarden, getting to Har Gerizim and Har Eival. Once we're at Har Gerizim and Har Eival, we brought the stones. Ubanu sa mizbech, built the mizbech. V'sadu v'sid, plastered it. Kasu alem is called Divrei HaTorah. V'shivim lashon, writing the Torah 70 times over in 70 different languages. Shenemor be'er etev. V'alu olos. So then they offered karbanos, v'achlu, v'shasu, v'simchu, and then they ate, they drank, and they rejoiced. Or birchu v'kalalu. Now the girsa we have in our Gemara is birchu v'kalalu, meaning then the brachos and kalos, meaning har grizim and har eval, v'kiplos avanim. And then we folded the stones, ubao v'lanu b'Gilgal, and then we went to Gilgal. You're going to take the stones and you're going to put them in the malon, right? Literally hotel. I might have thought that it should come with the stones, should come with us all the time. No, the first night of lodging. And we took the 12 stones that we set up in Har Gerizim and Har Eival, and we brought them to Gilgal, and they stayed there in Gilgal. Period. So the Brisa goes over a number of miracles that happened all in the course of one day that obviously was a very busy day. Just one thing in terms of the girsa of the Gemara. So we have the girsa that they brought the karbanos, they ate, they drank, they rejoiced, and then brachos and klalos. It sounds like from the girsa of the Gemara, the brachos and klalos came after the karbanos. If you look carefully at the psukim, through the psukim, and I'm not going to go through them right now, it seems to be that the brachos and klalos were given before the karbanos, not after the karbanos. The Vilna Gaon, changes, or not changes, we have wrong word over here, but edits the Gemara just a little bit, and that is that the Vilna Gaon, Be'eri Tevalu, Alos Rishlam, V'achlu, V'shasu, V'simchu, U'barchu. The word v'kilulu he takes out, right? That solves the problem because that we're not talking about brachos haklalos right now. Brachos haklalos took place before the offering of the karbanos, but rather the Vilna Gaon just has the words ubirchu, and the Vilna Gaon says, and why mention benching right now? It gives a beautiful pshat because this is now the first day we've entered into Eretz Yisrael. Right, what is the composition of benching? It's made up of three brachas. The Gemara brachas tells us the first bracha was put together by Moshe Rabbeinu. Second bracha was put together by Yehoshua. Third bracha was put together by David and Shlomo. Was formulated by David and Shlomo. So now this is the first day in Eretz Yisrael. So now what's special? What's unique about benching today? What's unique about benching today is now there's a second formulated bracha because the second bracha no delacha is about Eretz Yisrael. So, at that point in time, right? That always is a dilemma, which I don't ever have a good answer for. Meaning, the three brachas are daraisa, and yet, right? It sounds also like from the Gemara that Yehoshua formulated the second, which means that they only had one before that, and David and Shlomo formulated the third, which means that they only had two before that, and that's hundreds of years after having entered into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, I never know how to resolve that. That's an issue that. That's an issue that kind of, you know, sticks with me for a while. But anyway, still with me. But the Vilna Gaon says that's the significance of benching right now because this is the first day in Eretz Yisrael. So it's a beautiful pshat by the Vilna Gaon, although you have to take out a word from the Gemara, which, you know, you and I can't do that, but the Vilna Gaon can do that. Okay, back to the Gemara. Tana Tzira lo Avra Imahem. Okay. The Tzira. How do I describe the Tzira? Long-range missiles. Okay, it's not a great translation, but it's some sort of offensive technology that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the Jewish people when they enter into Eretz Yisrael. V'gam atzira ashalach bam. I'm going to send the tzira as well. Okay, so what that is, I don't know, but it's effective. That little I know.
You're saying it's a flying insect.
Flying insects. Okay, long-range missiles. Good. Okay, hornets. Okay. So, Tana Tzira lo Avra imahem. So, we have a Braisa. The Braisa says that Tzira didn't enter into Eretz Yisrael with the Bnei Yisrael. So, the Gemara says, really, v'lo v'aksi v'shalachti etz Tzira l'fanecha. And that's strange because the Torah promises that the Tzira is going to come in with us. I'm Rabbi Shimon Malakish, al Sfas Yarden, I'm Dov Zarka Behem Mara, Vesim Tehinei Melamala, Vesiras Tam Melamata. So the Gemara says, yeah. So what the Tzira did is they, as we crossed the Yarden, they stayed on the east side of the Yarden, but then they shot their Zara, their Mara. Okay, some sort of bile that they shot, and it blinded the enemies, it castrated the enemies, it was effective. Shenemar v'anochi shmati esamarim mipneihem, asher kegova razim, gavu, v'chason hu ka'alonim, v'ishmid piryomi ma'al, v'sharashav mitachas. The tree, the fruit were knocked off from the top, and the roots from the bottom. So, b'derech mashal, it's a description of the destruction of the enemy, blinding the eyes, and castration. Rav Papa gives a different solution, meaning he accepts the Braisa. The Braisa says that the Tzira did not come in to Eretz Yisrael with Yoshua. So Rav Papa says, granted. And also the Pasuk says that the Tzira did come in. Also, I accept. So Rav Papa says, how do I resolve the problem? Shtei tziros avai. Okay, there were two tziros. Chada de Moshe v'chada de Yoshua. De Moshe lo avar, de Yoshua avar. Okay, so Moshe had his weaponry, his tzira weaponry, and then Yeshua had his. And Rav Papa says, and that'll resolve the dilemma. Okay. Shisha shvatim ela l'rosh har grizim. Okay, the Navi describes how Yoshua describes how six shvatim went on one mountain and six shvatim went on another mountain. My vehechetzio. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just going to get the Tanakh. Har Grizim and Har Eval Sefer Yoshua Perek Ches. Okay. End of the Perek. Az Yivna Yoshua Mizbech Lashem Lakei Sol Bahar Eval. Kasher Tziva Moshe Eved Hashem Mizbnei Yisrael. Kakasu B'Sefer Torah Moshe. Mizbach Avanim Shlei Moshe Shalo Inif Alem Barzel Vayelu Alav Olos Lashem Vizbechu Shlamim. They offered karbanos. Vayichtav sham al avanim eis mishnas Torah Moshe shekatzov avnei bnei Yisrael. V'chol Yisrael zekenav v'shoshem v'shavtav. Omdim mizeh u'mizeh la'aron neged ha'kohanim alevim nosei aron b'z Hashem. Kager ka'azrach chetzio amul har grizim. So the Navi, Yoshua, describes. Half of the tribes were on har grizim. V'ha'chetzio amul har ival. And the other half or in Harival. Kasher Tziva Moshe Eved Hashem Levarech Et Ha'am Yisrael Birishona. It sounds like from the Pasuk in Yoshua that there was a natural division of the six Shvatim. And it sounds that way because the Torah describes it as V'hachetzio, and the half, right? The He'ayidiyah. It's a known article. Okay, so there seems to be some sort of natural division of six and six. So my vehechetzio, I'm Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana has a shita, which the Gemara is going to end up rejecting. But his shita goes like this: Kederech shechalukim kan, kach chalukin beavnei efod. So Rav Kahana's position is that like the Jews were divided in Har Grizim and Har Eval, and it was a natural division. Well, I'm sorry, and there the Torah identifies which Shvatim are going on Har Gerizim and which Shvatim are going on Har Eval. According to Rav Kahana, it's the same division of Shvatim on the two stones worn by the Kohen Gadol. Now, not to be confused, on the ephod itself, so there were 12 stones representing the representing the 12 Shvatim. But on top of that, on the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol, so he had two stones, and on the two stones were the 12 Shvatim divided into two, six and six. The Torah never identifies which Shvatim go on which stone. So according to Rav Kahana, the division by Har Gerizim and Har Eval is the same division as the stones. Shtei avanim, I'm sorry, give me a moment. Shtei avanim tovot hayu lo lekohen gadol, aktefav, achaz mikan, v'shem ushneim, I'm sorry, meitzvei, sorry. I should have introduced the next section of the Gemara with the word meitzvei. That is Shitas Rav Kahana. Okay? And he derives that from the fact that the Torah, the Navi in Yoshua, describes the second half as the hachetzio, and the second half, meaning they were divided elsewhere. Where else were these tribes divided? So he says the two stones of the ephod. Now let's say it, meisvei. The Gemara is going to challenge this based on the Braisa. The Braisa over here is going to have a debate between Tanaim in terms of which six Shvatim went on one stone, which six Shvatim went on the other stone. Shnei avanim tovot hayu lo lekohen gadol aktefav. There were two stones on the shoulders of the Kohen. Achaz mikan v'achaz mikan v'shem shnei masar Shvatim katzav aleihem. Shishal aven zev v'shishan aleven zu. Divide into six and six. Shenemar shishal mishmosam aleven achaz. The Torah describes it. By Parshas Tetzaveh, the Torah goes over the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, and the Torah describes how six were written on one, six were written on the other. But once again, the Torah does not mention which six are written on each stone. So, Hachas shnia ketoldasam velo rishona ketoldasam. Mipnei Yehuda muktam. So, the the second stone was ketoldasam, meaning according to the Tanakhama, we're going to follow the birth order of the 12 sons of Yaakov. Okay, we're in the right parshios to go over the birth order of the 12 sons of Yaakov. So we start with Reuven and we work our way down. But according to the Tanakhama, the Braisa, on the second stone, you follow the birth order. On the first stone, however, there's going to be one change, and that is Yehuda, instead of going from the fourth position, is going to be put up in the one position. Mimnesh Yehuda muktam, v'chamishim osios hayu, esrim v'chamesh aleven zu, v'esrim v'chamesh aleven zu. And then, according to the Tanakhama, it comes out that it, in terms of letters, a perfect division. 25 letters on one stone, 25 letters on the other stone. And that means that for homework tonight, you're going to write out the names of the Shvatim, and you're going to figure that it's going to be 25 and 25. Okay, just a shortcut in terms of a little cheat in terms of your homework for tonight. The Gemara is going to point out it doesn't work out perfectly, but we're going to get to that in just a moment.
Question.
Yeah.
The tribe of Levi stood in the middle, right?
Gemara's going to point that out also.
But the thing is that 12, 14, for you get to 12, then you have to split Yosef, and they're not on that.
Well, again, for sometimes Yosef's sons are split, Yerusha's Aretz are split.
And then on the breastplate, their names are not split.
No, correct. And sometimes they're not split. Correct. So,
but if it's saying if they split according to the names on the breastplate, that doesn't make sense.
Well, the Gemara is going to point out that the people, the Levi, some of Levi was on the mountain, some Levi was down below. How do they make that decision? I don't know. But the Gemara is going to point that out. Okay, so that is the Tanakhama. Again, let's just go over the context of the Gemara again. Let's just give the framework. We have over here, we're talking about Har Gerizim and Har Eval. The Torah does identify which Shvatim go on one mountain, which Shvatim go on the other mountain. Okay, Rav Kahana says it's the same thing regarding the two stones, the Shoham, the Avnei Shoham worn by the Kohen Gadol, where the Torah tells us that it's divided six and six. The Torah does not tell us which six go on which stone, and Rav Kahana says it's the same division, and he learns it from the Pasuk in Yoshua. The Gemara now is quoting a Braisa where the Braisa is not going to seem to accept that position. The Braisa is having a debate amongst Tanaim. There's going to be two Tanaim in this Braisa. We've already gone through one. We're about to go through the second, where in the Braisa it becomes clear that according to the Tanakhama, they follow the order of birth on stone one and stone two. The only difference being that on stone one, take Yehuda out of the fourth spot, move in the one spot because he's Yehuda, and he got bumped up to the He got bumped up to the one spot, and but that's it. Other than that, though, everything stays the same. And according to the Tanakhama, it comes out perfect 25-25. 25 letters on one stone, 25 letters on the other stone. The Gemara is going to question that in just a moment. But that is the Ashita of the Tanakhama. We're on the last line of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, the second opinion of the Braisa. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel is of the opinion. Top of Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Lo keder shechalukim bechumash abkudim. I'm sorry. Lo keder shechalukim bechumash abkudim. Chalukim ba'avni of Eifod. Ela keder shechalukim bechumash sheni. Don't look at chumash abkudim. Right, that's another way. That's what we call Sefer Bamidbar. Right, Sefer Bamidbar is kind of like a more modern term. Right, the Gemara always describes it as Chumash HaPekudim. The reason why is because you'll notice that the big theme of Bamidbar is census. Right, it starts with a census. It more or less ends with a census. Parshas Pinchas. So Sefer Bamidbar is referred to as Chumash HaPekudim, the book of census. Which, by the way, in English we refer to it as numbers. Right, now you understand?
Yeah.
That's where the name came from. And the Gemara says don't do it that way, but look at Chumash Hasheni. We call Chumash Hasheni Shmos, but again, from the Gemara standpoint, it's the second book. And if you take a look at Rashi, the second Rashi on the Amud, so Rashi writes, Betchilas ve'ele Shmos. In other words, when you open up Sefer Shmos, you're going to see the Shvatim are named, and the order is Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Be'echad Mehem, B'Sheni, Binyamin, Dan, Naftali, Gad, Asher, V'Yosef. Okay, that's how they were enumerated in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, and according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, that's how they were divided on the two Avnei Shoam. So Ketzad, B'nei Leah, Kisidran. So on one stone, you're going to have the B'nei Leah. And in the right order, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulon, meaning in the right order for Leah, and Bnei Rachel, Echa Mikan, Echa Mikan. On the second stone, you're going to take the two sons of Rachel, Yosef and Yamin. They're the bookends of the second stone. Ubnei Shvachos Beemsa, and then you take the four sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, and they go in between Yosef and Binyamin on stone number two. Ve'alamayne Mekayim Kedoldosam Kishmosam. And then why then? What are we going to do with the Torah describing Kedoldosam? Shekar Lahem Aviyam V'lo Kishem Shekar Lahem Moshe. In other words, we're going to use the names that Yaakov called them, not the names that Moshe referred to them as. Moshe gave them new names? No. But the Gemara points out, Reuven V'lo Reuveni, Shimon V'lo Shimoni, Dan V'lo Hadani, God v'lo Hagadi. Okay, so in other words, Moshe, you'll see in Sefer Bamidbar when Moshe describes the tribes, so he puts a hay in the yud, and there's a Rashi over there describing that basically he surrounded the Shvatim with Shem Hashem, but anyway, but those are not the names that are going on the Avnei Shoam of the Kohen Gadol, but rather the original names given by Yaakov Avinu to his 12 sons. When all said and done, Tiyufta derav Kahana Tiyufta. What we have over here now is obviously a problem. Rav Kahana's an Amora, so he's saying an opinion, but meanwhile we just saw a Braisa. The Braisa records two opinions, neither match Rav Kahana. The Gemara says Tiyufta, meaning you can't have Rav Kahana just simply not having the backing of a Tana, and also on top of that, having two Tanayim dispute his position. The Gemara says, okay, a refutation of Rav Kahana's position. Which brings us back to the beginning of the whole discussion. So meanwhile, on the other hand, Rav Kahana made a very good point. The Torah, when describing the tribes going up on Har Gerizim and Har Eval, it says one half is going to go on Har Gerizim, and the other half, meaning as if this was like a natural split, that's going to go on Har Eval, on the other mountain. So Tana Chetzio Shomul Har Gerizim Meruba Mechetzio Shal Har Eval. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. Braisa says that the half that were situated on Har Gerizim is actually greater in number than the half that were on Har Eval. Levi Lamata. So the Gemara says, because Levi was below. Adaraba. So the Gemara says, wait a second, just think this through. If Levi's below, Mimesha Levi Lamata, Batsu Lahu Hachi. So Batsu Lahu. So if that's true, so then that means that there's going to be less on Har Gerizim than there's going to be on Har Eval, because Levi is below. Hachi Kamar Afa Pisha Levi Lamata Bnei Yosef Imahem. So the Gemara says, yes, it's true that Levi is below, but Bnei Yosef is above, and Bnei Yosef in number exceeds. Shenem Rav Yidabra Bnei Yosef Es Yoshua Lemor, Maduna Sateli Nachala Goral Echad Vechevel Echad, Ve'ani Amrav. So Levi, sorry, Bnei Yosef go over to Yehoshua later in the Sefer in Perikid Zion, and they basically say, not a fair division, meaning, you know, as politics go, right? This is the allocation that we receive of Eretz Yisrael. Look at us. Look how many we are. And you're going to give us just one portion? So we're a great nation. So you see that Yosef in number was highly populated. So by Yom Alem Yeshua, im am ravata elech, I'm sorry, alei lecha hayara. So Yeshua's response is, okay, go occupy the forest. So anyway, amar lahen lechu ve'echbu atzmechem bi'arim, shelo tishlo bechem ayin hara. And as long as we're in this dialogue between Yeshua and the shevet of Yosef, Yosef, by the way, being actually represented by Menashe and Ephraim. But so he says, you know what? Yeshua says, go to the forest and hide in the forest because you won't have the Ayin Hara. Amar le Zarid Yosef lo shalta be'ein Abisha. And they said, we're the children of Yosef. We don't have to worry about Ayin Hara. We're above Ayin Hara. Dichsi ben Paras. Yosef ben Paras ale Ayin. Ve'amar Rabbi Abba alti kore ale Ayin ela ole Ayin. We're above the Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara is not sholet on Yosef. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi China, Amar Mehacha. Another source that we know that B'nai Yosef are above the Ayin Hara. Ve'id gularov bekar va'aretz. This is the bracha that Yaakov gives his grandchildren, Ephraim and Menashe, v'idgur l'rov b'kerav ha'aretz, ma dagim shebiyam mayim mechasen aleihem, just like the fish in the ocean are covered by the sea, v'in ayin sholatas b'hem, and the ayin is not sholet, they don't have ayin hara, they can't see them, avzar shol Yosef, ein ha'ayin sholatas b'hem. So too, when it comes to Bnei Yosef, the ayin is not sholet b'hem. But again, all this is a side point to the Gemara's main point, which is that you see that the Bnei Yosef are great in number, and despite the fact that Levi was not up on the mountain because they had to be, in other words, the shevet of Levi was up on the mountain, but the actual people of Levi had to be below because that was part of their job during the brachas of Har Gerizim and Har Eival. But despite that, the Bnei Yosef were up on Har Gerizim, which made the numbers so great. And then Gemara just simply showed us the psukim that showed us that the numbers of the Bnei Yosef were so great. Okay. Continuing the Gemara. That's right. Okay, Gemara doesn't leave much unchecked. We saw earlier in the Gemara that according to the Tanakama of the Braisa, the Avnei Shom were divided by Toldosam. In other words, going in the birth order of the 12 sons of Yaakov, starting with Reuven, going so that the first stone has from Reuven to who's number six. In birth order, I know I should know this. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and then, right, and then Zvulun, huh? I should know this. A little bit embarrassed. Don and Naphtali were five and six.
Leah's children, right?
No, Leah produces two more later, but in other words, then Rachel gives Bila over to Yaakov, and right. So Don and Naphtali. Okay, and then, okay, fine. So, and the only difference is, according to the Tanakhama, is that you're going to take Yehuda, move him from the fourth spot, move him to the one spot. But other than that, though, you follow the birth order. That is the Shita of the Tanakhama. And then the Tanakhama said that if you write out the names, you're going to find that there are 50 letters. And the Gemara says 50 on one, 50 on the other. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not true because you write out the names on the second stone, it comes out to 49, not 50. And Tanakhama is declaring that both stones have 50. So the Amar of Yitzhak, Yosef Osifalo Osa Chas. So one answer of the Gemara is that when you write out the name of Yosef, so you're going to write it with an additional letter. Shenamar Edus Bihosef, Samo B'Tseisol Eret Mitzrayim. Perkin Tehillim that we're familiar with, we say it on every Thursday. So Edus Bihosef. And you see over there that Ehe was given to the Shem of Yosef. Maskev Lorav Nachma Yitzchak, Kid Toldo Sambi'inam. So the Gemara says that's an answer, but it's not a great answer because we know that in the instructions to Moshe were to write the names of the Shvatim as Yaakov gave them the names. So the additional Ehe was added to Yosef, but that was later. David HaMelech wrote in Sefer Tehillim. Not saying that David added the letter, but Yaakov didn't. When Yaakov named Yosef, he named him with four letters: Yud Vav Samech Pei. Ella Kola Tarakula Binyamin Ksev Ahacha Binyamin Shalem. So the Gemara says, "I'll tell you how we get to the extra letter on the second stone. We get to the 50th letter on the extra on the second stone, and that is that if you look in the entire Torah, Binyamin is written Chaser." right? Without the yud between the mem and the nun. And then on the stones, so that's the 50th letter of the yud. V'aviv karalo binyamin. Now dad called them binyamin. Okay, why is it spelled without a yud? Okay, good. That's, you know, that opens up for the world of drush. But just in terms of answering the question now answered. That's how you got the 50 letters on the second stone. Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasida Yosef Shekidah Shem Shamayim B'Seisar Osifolo Osachas Mishmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. And now we segue into the next discussion in the Gemara. And that is, now as long as we brought up the added letter to Yosef's name, meaning Yosef was given a hey. So now we're going to compare and contrast Yosef's name to Yehuda's name. Yosef, who was Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, but he did so B'Seisar. Meaning, he had an opportunity to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. He had a temptation with Eishes Potiphar. He did not succumb to that temptation. He was Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, so Ahay was given to his name. But Yehuda, Shekidosh Shem Shemayim B'Farhesia. But Yehuda was Mekadosh Shem Shemayim publicly, meaning he had an opportunity not to be embarrassed. He got embarrassed, right? He admitted that Sotka Mimeni, she was right, meaning a reference to Tamar, not me. So as a result of that, so Yehuda, Nikra, Kulo Ashmo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So his entire name was actually Shem Hashem, meaning if you take out the dollar from Yehuda's name, you're actually going to have Shem Hashem. Now I know the built-in question over here is that Yehuda's name was given to him by Yaakov. In other words, Leah gave him the name. So the the name was given to him well before the act. So exactly what the Gemara means by that in terms of you know, his name corresponds to the act, and the act obviously came later. Okay, that's a built-in question. But meanwhile, a comparison between Yosef and Yehuda. Yosef Maihi. But it gives us an opportunity now to talk a little bit about Yosef, and the Gemara will use pretty much the remainder of the daf today to talk about Yosef. What exactly was the Kiddush Shem Shemayim of Yosef? So we know basically what the Gemara is making reference to, but the Gemara is going to go into detail regarding the Pesukim and darshaning the Pesukim. Dichsiv, Ayika Yomazev, Vayavo HaBayis HaLasos Malachto. So describing Yosef now living in the house of Potiphar. Right, this is the end of this week's parsha. Timing is perfect. The end of this week's parsha, the beginning of next week's parsha, but really the end of this week's parsha. Right. So Amar Rav Yochanan Lama Sheshneim Ledvar Averin Iskavnu. So according to Rav Yochanan, it was a rendezvous point, meaning Potiphar and Yosef and Eishes Potiphar actually had plans to commit an avera. They go back to the house to. He went back to the house to do his work. So according to one pshat, he was just going back to do work. No, and according to the other pshat, no. It was actually, once again, there was an intent on Yosef's part to create to have znus with Eishes Potiphar. There was nobody there. Hard to imagine that it was a palace. Potiphar lived in a palace. Nobody was there. So Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. So we have a brice of Rabbi Shmuel. Should be familiar with us. Rashi brings it down in Chumash. Oh, so Ayom Yom Chagam Hayu. So this was a day where it was a holiday. So it was a religious holiday, and they went to their place of worship. Vehi Amra Lahen Chola Ani Cholahi. And she said, "Amra ain li yom shenizakik li Yosef kiyom hazeh." So she said she was sick. She wasn't sick. Just that this was the opportunity for her and Yosef to be alone. Vatispaseo bebigdo lemor. She grabbed his clothing. Ba'oso shah ba'ta diukno shal aviv. Right. This Gemara, perhaps one of the most famous of today's daf. Rashi brings it down in Chumash. So at that moment, when she grabs his clothing, so what does Yosef see? Diukno shal aviv. He sees a vision of his father. V'nerasolo bechalon amarlo Yosef atid necheshe yichtivo avnei fod. What's going to happen in the future is that you, together with your other brothers, are going to be written on the stones of the ephod. Va'ata beinehem. Ritzoncha shiyamacha shimcha mi beinehem. V'tikra roa ezonos. Do you want that your name should be erased? Do you want that from this point going forward you're going to be called roa ezonos? Right, you're with the zonos. V'dichsiv roa zonos yoved hon. The pasuk in Mishlei says that if you preoccupy your time with zonos, yoved hon, you're going to lose your wealth. Miyar v'teshev bi'asan kashato. So the Chumash describes that it retracted, right, referring to his aver. I'm Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir. Sheshava kashto leitano. It retracted. Vayafotzu zoro yadav. He spread out his fingers. Not yadav v'karka. And actually he hurt himself. He caused pain to himself in order so that he would no longer have the temptation, and it would have retracted. And the Gemara over here says that the zera, which was accumulating, so it came out through the tziparnav. It came out through his fingernails. Midavir Yaakov, migaron lo shechak lo avnei ephod. And what caused his name to be written on the stones of the ephod? Ella avir Yaakov. It was the strength of Yaakov. Misham roe evan Yisrael. Misham zachem naaseh roe. From that point, he became the shepherd. Shenema roe Yisrael hazina nohe katzon, katzon Yosef. I'm a little bit more. Shenema Ela told us Yaakov Yosef. No, I skipped a line. I'm sorry. Tanya. Hayaru Yosef latzeis b'mena yud beishvatim kederach shiatzam Yaakov aviv. Really, fundamentally, Yosef was the one who should have had the 12 tribes. In other words, it sounds like from the Braisa that instead of being 3 patriarchs, there actually should have been 4 patriarchs, meaning it should have gone Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, meaning Yosef was going to be the progenitor of the Jewish people, just like his father was. Shenamar, Ela told us Yaakov Yosef, first pasuk of this week's parsha. These are the generations of Yaakov Yosef, meaning Yosef would have been a hamshacha. Ela sheyatzah shechvat zera mibein tziparnei yadav, but the shechvat zera came out between Tziparnei Yadav. Again, how to understand this? Obviously, it's the Gemara over here is going on a very deep level. But the basic idea is that because of this involvement with Eishes Potiphar, so he did not become the progenitor. He was one of the Yud Beis Shvatim. He was included as one of the Yud Beis Shvatim, but he did not become the exclusive progenitor of the Jewish people. Just as an interesting note, when Yaakov describes Reuven, he calls him Rashis Ono. Meaning this, my first issue, meaning that the idea of being an Av is that you're right, all your Zera is going to be applied towards the having of children, and meaning you can biologically you can have children, but you can't be the Av, the progenitor, if your Zera is so to say wasted, so to speak. The Alpha Piken Yasum Ibinyan Echav. Binyamin, his brother, he did have a lot of children. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with Binyamin and his 10 sons. Okay, the
Yosef, right, was to replace Esau was to be the fourth, and Yosef was supposed to
correct, right, Esau. right. Oh, very good. Okay,
Right.
Okay, so just as a quick recap, the crossing of the Yarden became a topic which has been covered and continued into today's daf. First half of today's daf continue with the description of the crossing of the Yarden, the numerous miracles that occurred on the day that we crossed the Yarden, all the way where the stones were eventually set up in Gilgal, and for the next 14 years the Mishkan was set up in Gilgal. And then the Gemara went into a discussion of the Avnei Shom, the 2 stones worn by the Kohen Gadol, where the 6 Shvatim are written on each one of the stones. How were they divided? The Torah does not say. So we had so far today 3 opinions in our Gemara. The Braisa records 2, Rav Kahana records the 3rd, but the Gemara points out that you can't have Rav Kahana arguing with the Braisa. The Gemara Tuyufta, the Gemara refuted the opinion of Rav Kahana. And then we brought up the fact that the idea that Yosef was Mikadashem Shemaim Beseser, so an extra hey was added to his name, and then the Gemara now is recording how exactly Yosef was Mikadashem Shemaim Beseser, and it led into a discussion regarding Yosef.